You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
I'm Catherine Lanford, in for Adora Udoji. The arrest of Radovan Karadzic made headlines around the world this week. Serbian security forces say they will now set their sights on tracking down the people who helped the accused war criminal evade justice for 12 years. But his capture may signal a sharp turnaround for Serbia, yet another former communist country attempting to embrace the West. We're joined now by BBC correspondent Helen Fox in Belgrade. Helen, tell me, what kind of turning point is this for Serbian nationalism?
Well, Adora, this is a very significant moment. Really, what we're seeing here is a significant shift. We're going from a country which has been had a hardline nationalist and a very strong political position. But since the election a couple of months ago, in which the pro-Western parties of the president were able to win the largest share of the votes and go on to form a coalition, we've seen a strengthening of the pro-Western politicians and a weakening of the nationalists. And now with the arrest of Radovan Karadzic, who was widely believed to have been supported by nationalists, this really has shown people that Serbia is fully committed to attempting to join the European Union. And it's very important that there hasn't been a huge backlash here to the arrest. We've seen a few protests, but really they're very small, just a few hundred people on the streets.
Well, Helen, if I may, the cynic in me suggests then that this really isn't about an investigation or an arrest or some sort of spook hunt for Radovan Karadzic. It's really a quid pro quo, that once there was an incentive package in place, or the Serbian government saw that there was a possibility of joining the EU, pop, up comes Radovan Karadzic. If it goes farther, pop, up's going to come Ratko Mladic, and that's how it's going to proceed. It's really not about police work.
Absolutely, John. I mean, the timing of this is so significant. Just 2 weeks after the government was formed, and the foreign minister said the same. He said, look, this shows we're committed to the European Union. And one reason that it's being suggested that Ratko Mladic hasn't been caught yet is that he's a very valuable bargaining chip. And I think that over the years, you know, hundreds of people are claimed to have helped these men evade justice. And the real problem has been a lack of political will to want to catch these men, and that has changed now. And so I think that everyone is clear that this is about politics and about the country changing direction more than anything.
But how much is it then just about economics in that?
Well, a lot of it is. Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is about economics, about Serbia wanting to be part of the European Union, which has huge trade benefits for Serbia. Of course, people here say that it's very important. People here in the region say it's very important for justice to be done, so this country and this region can really move on. And it's very important for those affected by the very bloody wars of the Balkans during the breakup of the Yugoslavia. This is very important. But essentially, when you speak to many ordinary people in Serbia, what what they see about this is the effect it will have on them, and they believe that the country will move on and will soon be able to join Europe.
What's the rest of Europe's reaction to this? I mean, are they buying this sea change in the Serbian government, or are they as cynical as you and me, Helen?
Well, you know, I think they're a bit of both, really. I think that, this has been warmly welcomed by many, politicians and diplomats throughout Europe. You know, this is something that European officials have really been pushing for, and so they're very happy that this is the direction that Serbia is taking. But of course, I mean, people are cynical about this. And also, it is being made clear to Serbia that just one arrest is not enough. There are still two other people on the most wanted list by the UN War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague. And that includes Radovan Karadzic's wartime commander, Ratko Mladic. And, essentially, the EU has said to Serbia, these last remaining men, these two men, must be caught before you have a realistic chance of joining the European Union.
Now, you said earlier, hundreds of people helped these people stay out of the hands of justice. What happens to them?
Well, this is what the authorities are now doing, is trying to trace these people and trying to work out where, you know, who these people are. Before I moved to Belgrade, I used to be the BBC correspondent in Sarajevo, and on a regular basis, the European Union peacekeepers there would raid the houses of those they claimed were part of the support network. They would take away mobile phones, banking records, computers, all kinds of documents which they hoped would help find out, you know, the people helping these fugitives. And you know, what it's been claimed is that these people have had very high level officials helping them, but with the change in power here, with a change in the authorities, those people have you know, the power has gone from some of these people. One possible lead that the authorities now have to go on is that Radovan Karadzic assumes the identity of a man called Dragan Davic. Now, there have been claims that this was a real person who had died in Bosnia in the 1990s, and that then Mr. Karadzic was given official Serbian identity papers.
Well, certainly, and Helen, a lot of people in Serbia with some churning stomachs over their aid to Radovan Karadzic.
And Helen Fox, we want to thank you for joining us. Helen, the
BBC
correspondent, thank you, based in Belgrade. We're going to turn now to Femi Okay and headlines.
Thank you very much. 21 minutes to the hour.